Wisconsin Senator Patrick Teston of the 24th District has had himself, well, one busy year at the Capitol with different pieces of legislation that he has been working on. We caught up with the senator for an update on what's happening with some of those bills. I wanted to know especially about the high-capacity well legislation that has had so much attention.
So obviously the Senate passed high-capacity well bill back in early April, and I voted for the bill because we were able to amend the bill and incorporate what I would consider a much better study area to study the impacts of high-capacity wells in the Central Sands region, and that I think will help strive for more balance in the future. So that passed the Senate. It then went into the state assembly, where they also passed it as amended. And so now it's on the governor's desk waiting for his signature. And the governor has signaled his intention to sign and make this become law.
What's taking so long, or is this right on schedule as far as how this process works?
I think this is par for the course, you know, depending on, you know, the governor's priorities and where. Obviously, right now, the state budget, that's that is taking up a lot of the oxygen in Madison right now. But as far as I know, the governor plans to sign it soon. I haven't heard the details as of when, but I would suspect in the next few weeks here, he'll put pen to paper.
I asked the senator to update us on the industrial hemp bill, a bill that he authored and presented earlier this year that would legalize the cultivation of hemp here in Wisconsin.
The hemp bill, we are still waiting to hear for hearing dates for the bill to be heard in the state assembly as well as the state senate. I know my office has been in contact with the chair of the A committee in the Senate to see when we might be able to schedule a hearing. And then I know my co-author in the assembly, Representative Kramer, has been in contact with Representative Narrison to see if and when we can get that scheduled for a hearing in the assembly. But I remain confident that we'll have a public hearing on this bill. And like I said, I think probably some of the delay is just due to the fact that right now the main focus has been the state budget.
The Wisconsin senator played a key role in introducing a bill to aid Wisconsin potato producers as well.
So yeah, what the blight bill does, it just moves up the timetable for abatement orders when blight is discovered. We passed this in the state senate earlier this month, and under current law, when blight is discovered in a field, the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection allows up to 10 days for it to be taken care of. And from the science and the scientific research that's been done by Professor Amanda Gevins, We found out that 10 days is far too long to allow the spores to spread. I mean, one lesion on a plant can contain up to 10,000 spores. And if they have 10 days to spread via the wind, that's far too long. And so what our bill aims to do is, when late blight is discovered in the field, that farmer has 24 hours to treat it with an anti-sporulant. And then after 72 hours, if the blight has not been contained, then the crop needs to be destroyed just to protect the food supply in the area. And so that has passed the state senate. I believe the state assembly is going, or just had a public hearing on it not too long ago, and should be on the floor the next time they're in session.
You said it's going to be debated on the floor. Do we need individuals calling their lawmakers, telling them how they feel?
It never hurts, you know, especially for those who have a interest in this, for some of our potato growers out there, or those who even grow potatoes or tomatoes, that tomatoes can also be impacted by late blight as well. So, you know, if you have a vested interest in this and want to see this become law, I certainly encourage your listeners to go out and contact their members of the state assembly and just let them know that they support this bill. But from the feedback that we had and when we talked about this in our committee here and in the Senate, we didn't have any opposition. And we didn't have any opposition on the floor. It passed unanimously via voice vote. And I suspect that will be in similar circumstances in the state assembly.
And now, finally, our Veterans Farm Bill, Veterans and Farming Bill. Tell us a little bit about it and where are we at on it.
Sure. So the Veterans Farm Bill, what this does, it is a program that is modeled off of a similar program that was implemented in West Virginia back in 2014. And what it does, it aims to create a outreach opportunities, employment opportunities, and basically serve as a resource between the Department of Veterans Affairs and the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection to help veterans who want to get into agriculture, to kind of show them the ropes and give them, point them in the right direction. Since West Virginia implemented this program in 2014, they have served over 300 veterans, started up 200 new businesses in age-related fields, and eight veterans have publicly gone on record and said because of this program, it it prevented them from taking their lives. Because a lot of times when our veterans come home from their tours of duty, some have scars that are visible and some that aren't. And I can't think of a better group of individuals than our brave men and women to pick up the torch in agriculture, because it is a 24/7 job, and they are really well suited for that nature and that type of work. And what it also does too, this bill creates a logo type. So a lot of times when you go into a store and you see a sticker on a product that says something special from Wisconsin, there's gonna the ability for veterans to market their product. So for those who maybe want to spend an extra dollar or more to buy a product and know that that's supporting a veteran and the veteran's family, they'll have that ability to do so. And so we've gotten a ton of positive feedback on it. I think half the legislature are co-sponsors on this bill. And we've got a lot of good publicity out of it as well, and just highlighting the importance of this. And as I've stated too, I view this also as a workforce development bill. The Ag Census showed in the state of Wisconsin, we've got about 69,000 farms in the state. However, the average age of our farmers is in the upper 50s. And so we need to make sure that we're developing talent pipelines to encourage people to take up agriculture-related jobs and businesses. So our $88 billion ag industry continues to be a driving economic factor and force in our state.
Here again, when can we expect some progress on this?
We do have some good news. The assembly is going to have a public hearing on this the Vets and Ag Bill on June 8th, and so we're really excited. From talking with Representative Goyke, who is the co-author with me in the state assembly, I think we're going to have a really good lineup of individuals to come down and testify in favor of this piece of legislation.
Very good news. If we want to follow along and find out more information about these bills that you're sponsoring and you're author of, are they available on your webpage, or how do we find out more information?
They can go to either to my homepage on the state legislature's website, and they can track each individual bill, or just reach out to our office and we'll give you any of the information that you need.
That was Wisconsin Senator Patrick Teston of the 24th District. For the Farm Report, I'm Bryant Gill.